everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're really glad that you've joined us.
Happy weekend, Dr. Linda.
Always good to be the weekend.
I noticed when Dr. Norm came in today, he was wearing a college basketball branded shirt.
Yeah, we won't say which team he supports because we might get people upset with us.
He's like, why not? But you and Dr. Norm are fans of college basketball. And as it turns out, we are in the middle of the annual illness called March Madness. It's always interesting to watch how intense the emotions can get with fans during this time of year, especially when bad calls are made. Fans can get really angry and vocal.
Boy, and when your team loses, look out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow Twitter when you're watching these games or after the game and you look on social media, boy, Chris, the anger can get hostile on those sites. People are even threatened when their teams lose. So people seem to be getting angry and venting, and it seems to be okay when it comes to sports.
Right. Well, did you know that the term March Madness has nothing to do with anger? It actually comes from the Illinois State High School basketball tournament years ago. A coach named Henry Porter used the term first in 1939.
Wow.
It's been around for a while.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and then in 1982, CBS broadcaster Brent Musburger referred to the NCAA championships as March Madness, and the term stuck.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So it's been around since the 80s, really, in terms of the way we refer to that tournament. So the term doesn't really talk about anger, like you said, but we're going to talk about it as a type of March Madness that we really want to avoid, this over-the-top anger in sports. But also in politics, anger at the police that we're seeing these days, the government, and just so many places in our culture.
Well, do you think that anger has increased or gotten worse in the recent years? We see it all year long, not just in March, and people seem just to be angry.
I do think that social media and any place where you can go and express your anger anonymously really does rev up the anger for a lot of people because there's no consequences to doing that. You can just let your anger fly. Invent it. And I also think the way our politicians act and the way the media reports stories contributes to that anger and that negativity that we're seeing. So there's a lot of factors here that are operating that have really led to a decline in the civility that we have towards each other. And I think it's really sad, Chris.
And I think the danger is that social media and other media, like you mentioned, can fuel a mob mentality and encourage hatred. So while the country focuses on March Madness concerning basketball, we want to focus on our own March Madness. Americans are angry about a lot of things, school shootings, taxes, immigration, government, and just a whole lot more.
So a survey was done in 2016 by Esquire magazine and NBC. And in that survey, they found that about half of Americans are angrier today than they were the year prior. So I think it speaks to what you're saying. And this is significant because when you're angry, you're an angry person, you're not communicating well with other people, and you're not listening to other people. And also, Chris, when you're angry, your empathy goes away, and you have trouble imagining the other person's point of view. So if people feel that the only way that they can be heard when they're angry, then what happens is our public discourse becomes just this huge arena for shouting past one another and just letting all these emotions spill out.
Mm. And you wrote a book, a pocket-sized book titled Breaking Free from Anger. And today we're going to take a few pages out of that book to help us with healthy anger expression.
So that little book has helped a lot of people, and I think it speaks to what we're talking about today, that there is this sort of all-year-round madness that people are feeling. It addresses the psychological reasons and the spiritual reasons that people get so angry and how it really impacts a person's life. Whenever I speak on any kind of topic, totally unrelated to anger, but I have that book on my book table, it just sells off.
How can I get a copy of that?
So just go to the internet and just click on it. You can get it. I don't have them laying around or I'd give you a copy, but so I don't have any extra copies.
I have to go buy one
I'm sorry, but I'll sign it.
Oh, great. Thank you. That'll be great. Well, this means that anger expression is something that most of us could improve. Anger is such a common feeling. Think about the number of times that we were angry this week.
If I'm thinking about that, you know, I can think of mild times that I got angry, maybe some moderate times. I'm thinking about incidents. They were short. Maybe my conversations with other people were a little restrained because of the anger I was feeling, but that's not always the case. It can also get very out of control.
I can think of, you know, rude customers at a store or maybe a neighbor who wasn't considerate with property and things like that. So my first question is, why are we so quick to be angry?
Well, if you think about it, there's usually a trigger, right? There's some kind of event that happened, something that doesn't make you feel right. Maybe you've been cut off in traffic. Do I see a hand in the control room for that one? This is one my husband struggles with. Or maybe you've been insulted by your boss, or maybe your spouse was inconsiderate. But the event itself doesn't cause the anger, even though you always hear people say things like, I got angry because that person cut me off of the road.
Right.
Right. But it's not that event that's actually doing that.
I see your point, because if it was the event, then everyone would respond the same way. Everyone would get angry at being cut off on the road. But some people just let it go and they don't react.
Right. So it's not just an event. Other things matter. One of the things that matters is your personality, or the personality traits that maybe you bring to that event. So people with narcissism, with competitiveness, a person who has a very low frustration tolerance gets angry much easier than people that don't have those kind of traits. So for instance, driving is a competition for those who have a very competitive personality. So getting caught off of the road, the competitive person gets into this competitive mode and it really gets their competitive blood going. The narcissist thinks that the road is all about him. And so when they're cut off, it really prompts anger because they're like, hey, what about me?
Right. Personality traits can bring on anger more easily in some people, but are there other factors?
Well, there's something called your pre-anger state, and this has to do with how you're feeling physically or psychologically at any moment. So if you're really tired, if you're really anxious, maybe you just had a fight with someone and you're feeling angry already, that pre-anger state then revs up your physical body, your heart might be elevated, and at that time, you're much more susceptible then to creating more angry feelings. But even more than your personality, Chris, or that pre-anger state that I just mentioned, anger is triggered really by your thoughts. So you can get angry by how you think about any situation. And all that means is if you think something negative, that can be the trigger for anger.
So as an example, if you think that all drivers are self-centered on the road and they don't think of others, you are more apt to get angry at them.
Right.
But if you think that the person maybe just didn't see you when you went to make the turn, you may not get angry. It's how you think about the things that happen around you.
Yeah, we call that cognitive appraisal in psychology. You're making a thought, a cognitive, an appraisal of that situation. And when you appraise it negatively, then it is more likely that it's going to trigger some kind of anger feeling in you. So a lot of times if we think that someone's trying to do something to harm us by blaming us, or there's some injustice, or there's something punishable that needs to happen because the person is acting so poorly, or some other negative belief that comes into play, that can create anger. So a thought like, you know, everyone should just be more mindful on the road, that might trigger anger in somebody. Or a thought like, no one should make a mistake with my fast food order, that might trigger anger. Now, I'll tell you, I was at a fast food, I won't say which one, so I was in that line forever, and I actually looked at my watch because it was taking so long. It was 8 minutes.
Oh, wow.
There was someone with a huge order in front of me. I don't know what happened, but by the time I got to the front, I was so angry because I was thinking, nobody did anything bad to me, but I was thinking, hey, this is fast food.
Right.
What's fast about this moment? And that triggered anger.
Speaking of triggers, I would think that everyone has their own triggers based on life experiences.
Yeah, so some common ones are when you've been threatened by somebody, or you've been attacked, or you're frustrated, or you feel powerless. Maybe you've been treated unfairly, or there's a feeling that someone's invalidating who you are and not respecting your feelings. Those are the types of things that can make you angry. They might not make the next person angry because maybe the next person doesn't have those kinds of feelings.
Well, I would think that how your parents dealt with anger is a big influence.
It really is, because that's where you learn how to express anger, is in your original family. So if you saw somebody expressing anger really in a healthy way, you're going to learn how to do that. Hmm. But if somebody in your family is pushing down the anger or suppressing it, you know, there's this sort of feeling that it's not safe to be angry, so you can turn the anger inward. Or if you're living in a family where anger is out of control and you see a lot of bad consequences with the way people are dealing with anger, you might develop those same out of control experiences.
And I'm sure that if you experience trauma or abuse in the past or even now, that would play a big role in being angry.
Yeah, it's often a cover-up for how bad you feel. Anger is a more powerful emotion. So with that backdrop of abuse and trauma, sometimes something can happen in the present that doesn't seem like it should create anger, but you're really flashing back to another time, and that can create an angry reaction.
Well, Dr. Linda, don't be angry at me about this, but we need to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about being hangry. Have you been hangry before?
Anger happens. It's part of being human, but it does not need to control or even ruin your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, with a quick prescription to help you break free from anger. Whether you are seriously out of control, hot-tempered, or just easily annoyed, why not try this biblical strategy to conquer those destructive reactions? A good place to begin is to admit you have an anger problem, and then begin the tough work of finding the root of your anger. The next step is to identify the triggers, you know, the cues that set you off. Your trigger might be other people or situations or even certain thoughts that pop into your mind. Next, calm down. It's like pressing pause on the moment. Take a breath. Count to five in Spanish or maybe some other language. Get your thinking brain back into control. And then finally, create a reaction plan. So in advance, think about ways to combat those familiar angry feelings. And then practice, practice, practice your plan. With God's help, you can break free from anger.
This is the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamintel.com, and follow her on social media. There are so many great blogs on her website. Again, drlindamintel.com. You can also check out her book, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. You will find practical help in that book, and you can find it on Amazon or drlindamintel.com. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcasts on iTunes as well. Dr. Linda, we're talking about March Madness and anger today, but have you heard of hangry?
You said that before the break, and I'm sitting here going, I don't know that term. What is that?
When you're hungry and angry.
Because you're hungry?
Yes, makes you hangry.
It makes you hangry. I love that.
When you're in line at the drive-thru.
I should have said I'm hangry.
Right. If you tell the people you're hangry, they'll hurry up.
They probably would have looked at me like, what?
Well, let's get back to our conversation on anger. First of all, we all have it. So is anger a sin?
It's not a sin. The Bible does say, be angry, but don't sin. A lot of people know that part of the scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is how you handle your anger. If you don't learn to express it in a healthy way, it could cause physical, emotional, relational, spiritual problems. Then it can move into becoming a problem and maybe even sin at some point. So if you hang on to anger, Chris, it can really affect your health, such as giving you high blood pressure, depression, anxiety, and even heart disease. So anger needs expression, but it doesn't need venting.
You know, I've always heard that venting anger is a good thing. Maybe punch a pillow, yell at the TV, or just, you know, scream in your room into a pillow or something like that.
Yeah, so interesting, because we have heard that maybe that's a way to help, but the Bible says don't give vent to your anger.
Hmm.
And giving vent to your anger in all the ways that you just talked about actually revs up your anger. And that's proven by research. It doesn't calm you down. It actually makes you more angry when you vent your anger. And it makes you more aggressive when you vent your anger. And certainly, venting anger can lead to getting out of control with it. And oftentimes, when they're in the middle of a rant, we say hurtful things. Or in the worst case, we can end up abusing somebody.
So anger and aggression are not the same thing, because you can feel anger but not be aggressive. Have you heard of these anger rooms?
I had to look this up because I didn't realize there was such a thing. But there's a place in Houston called Tantrums. So that's a good branding name, right?
Right.
And you can have a customized designed room with images of things or even people, Chris, who make you mad.
Huh.
You just get your own customized room for this. So before the presidential election, our last presidential election, they actually had rooms prepared with all kinds of mannequins that looked like the two candidates.
Oh, wow.
So there was a Hillary Clinton mannequin and a Trump mannequin. And you book the room, you get it set up, and everything, they said everything was smashed by the time the customers left those rooms. So, and people left smiling is what they said.
But we just discussed that that can make you more angry.
Right. And it probably didn't help, actually, right, the things that we're seeing now. the anger that people have. So that really wasn't a good solution. It might have been a little cutesy marketing tool, but it was actually revving up people's anger. So I want to say that anger is really a substitute for other emotions often. And so sometimes people make themselves angry because they don't want to feel pain. So, you know, I wonder how many people, when the election was lost in their mind, were feeling sad and upset, but anger is that powerful way to deal with it so they don't have to feel sad or upset.
Especially had they been at tantrums in Houston.
Yes, right.
It exacerbated it.
Yeah. So a lot of times when we're in pain, that feels very vulnerable and people feel very helpless. But if we get angry, then we feel powerful and we feel like somehow we're not going to hurt as much. So that really is important for people to think about. Is there some other emotion under that anger?
But anger really doesn't make the pain go away. It doesn't solve a problem either. In fact, it can create more problems if it isn't expressed well.
And that's the point, because we want to be able to deal with people in a better way. And if we don't get so angry, we can listen. We're more inclined to say things that are kind or maybe speak honestly at the moment. We can be more accommodating when someone's disagreeing with us. We feel better when it's expressed in a controlled way, in a healthy way. And we can feel more optimistic about the future because we know we can disagree with people. We can maybe come to some kind of solution. So anger's not an emotion to suppress. Sometimes anger can help a person realize their own faults.
You know, when you watch angry people on these reality TV shows, it can be entertaining. It can be pretty fun to watch.
I don't know. I'm just not entertained by that. But I know a lot of people are. I know what you're saying.
Right. But the anger that we see today seems to be more persistent and directed at people who can then be demonized. And it's more directed at people to hurt them. And honestly, that's not entertaining or helpful.
Yeah. And if it's going to be used in a way that hurts people, why are we doing this? You know, why don't we learn to express it in a healthy way so we're not damaging people? Why do we want to add to all the frustration that people are feeling today? One way to deal with anger is just to feel it and do nothing. You just feel it, you sit with it, you acknowledge the feeling, but you decide that you're just going to delay any response that you have from that. Eventually, when you do that, the anger usually subsides, and that is something I just try to do often now.
Well, what about taking a break and allowing yourself to simply calm down? Say you're in an argument with someone, it seems like a break would be a good idea.
That is a healthy strategy, taking a break or a timeout. Sometimes we do that with kids, right?
Right.
Put them in timeout when they're angry. Some adults need to go to timeout because it really does help calm you down. And another thing is not to go to sleep angry. So this was fascinating to me, Chris. I saw this research and it says that if you sleep and you're angry, sleep can actually cement negative emotions and even preserve the memory of that anger or that threat that led to that anger.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
And the Bible gives great advice because it tells us not to let the sun go down on our anger. What else can we do besides waiting out the feeling or taking a time out?
So another strategy is to find some kind of incompatible response to anger. So let's say you're enraged and your heart is racing and your breathing is shallow and fast. So if you slow both of those down by sitting still and maybe counting to three, taking deep breaths, inhaling, exhaling kind of slowly, then that breathing, that slow breathing is really an incompatible response to being angry. And that will calm yourself down. It will relax you. So the opposite of anger is a relaxation feeling. So practicing relaxation exercises can really help.
And I've heard that angry people can benefit from exercise. How does that help?
Exercise has been shown to reduce depression, anxiety, and anger. And it comes with a caution, though, for those who are really enraged. So I do want to put this as a caveat, because there was a study published in 2016 in the journal Circulation that found that people who were really angry or upset while doing strenuous exercise had three times the risk of suffering a heart attack. So hanging on to hostility hurts the body no matter what you're doing. So you wouldn't want to use exercise as a method for that. But generally speaking, if you're just struggling with anger that comes and goes, if you get out, you walk, you exercise, it usually makes you feel better.
And we mentioned, too, that social media revs up anger because anger begets anger begets anger begets anger.
So, you know, if you just... you're reading all this anger. I'm concerned about people who just sit and read all these rants on social media. Because if you're reading it or you participate in any of those rants, then you're going to feel more angry. And actually, a study confirmed this. There was one in 2013 that found that people who read online rants for 5 minutes became angrier themselves.
Hmm. The only reason to go on social media then will be to look at Dr. Linda's blogs.
I like that.
Well, here's another suggestion. We need to go to a break, but we will pick up on our solutions to healthy anger management after the break right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who He says He is, or He will do what He says He will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse His goodness, accept His grace, and walk in the confidence that He is in control and He's working all things for your good.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on social media. Her book, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness, is a book on dealing with anger from both a psychological but spiritual perspective as well. And if you'd like a one-stop place to find out what you need and sign up for her free e-newsletter, go to her website, drlindamental.com. And don't forget, you can now subscribe to her podcasts on iTunes as well. Well, Dr. Linda, since there is so much anger all around us, is it a good idea to do a little self-reflection? Maybe we have more anger than we realize.
So I have a few questions, Chris, that you could ask yourself to do that little bit of self-reflection. Maybe you do have more anger than you realize, and you really just haven't sat down and thought about this. Listen to these questions, think about them, and see if you would answer yes or no to them. Am I constantly in a bad mood? Do I express my anger in a way that hurts myself or someone else? Does everything seem too hard, too boring, or uninteresting? Do I want to throw, hit, or destroy things all the time? Do small things that didn't used to bother me now put me in a bad mood? And finally, do I lash out on people? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you might want to ask, why am I so angry? Remember, anger is a valuable and a vital emotion. It's not bad, but what you do with that anger matters. So it helps to acknowledge the feelings of anger and understand what is triggering it, especially if you tend to hold on to anger.
A spiritual key to dealing with anger is self-control. We know that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It involves both control over one's behavior and the impulses and emotions beneath it. And it includes our mind and our emotions, not just our outward actions, but our internal state.
And it's that internal state that we really want to be concerned about. What's going on with our heart, right? Because Jesus always talked about what was in our heart. That was what mattered. So self-control is produced in and through us by the Holy Spirit. It's not just something we whip up from within. Rather, it is developed from God's work in us. It's a gift. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So desire it, develop it, and use it.
Hmm. Well, what else can we do to handle our anger in a good way?
I think the biggest one, and this is one I do struggle with, but I am getting better at this, and that is not to speak when I'm in the heat of the moment, when I'm really angry. It's really easy to say things that you're going to later regret, and you do tend to do things in the moment that you wouldn't if you just took some time out and you allowed yourself to calm down. So take a few moments, collect your thoughts before saying anything, and maybe the other people involved in this situation should be asked to do the same thing.
Some people benefit from writing out their feelings. Is that a good idea?
It can help. It can help a lot in certain cases. This is something I used to do with people who suffered abuse in their background and had a lot of anger that had built up over the years. I would have them write their letter to the person who abused them or hurt them, but Chris, we would not send it typically.
Hmm.
It would just be an exercise in dealing with that anger, lightening the load of that anger that they've been carrying for so long. Now, if you want to try to reconcile with someone and you can write that type of a letter or an email in a very controlled way, then you can hit send, or you can send it to that person, because maybe that's a step in the right direction, especially if the letter is something that is very controlled in terms of explaining what happened and what your reaction was to that and what you want going forward.
Let me ask you about forgiveness, because your book is titled Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness.
Forgiveness is probably the most important way to release anger. There was this really interesting study at Hope College in Michigan, and they had volunteers. And what they asked them to do is they just said, we just want you to think about a person that you're angry with. And they did a bunch of stuff. They measured their blood pressure, their heart rate, their muscle tension. And when they just thought about a person they were angry with, everything spiked. But when they were asked to imagine themselves forgiving that person, we're talking just imagining forgiving them, all of those measures went down and they didn't have all those reactions. So just the thought of forgiving somebody made a big difference in being calm and improving their health.
So I suppose if you allow anger and other negative feelings to crowd out positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness or sense of injustice.
But when you forgive someone who has angered you, it not only strengthens your relationship with the Lord, but it opens up the door and the possibility of reconciliation. So let's end our show with the words from Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Boy, Chris, that's a really strong directive from God's word. Put them all away. If you struggle with anger, breaking free from anger and unforgiveness might be a resource that you might want to get. So let's reserve our March Madness for the sports world and not let it stay with us and move us into a place of bitterness. Let's move away from anger, break free from it, and move in forgiveness. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.